May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another inspiring episode of the Silsila Spiritual Cures. No matter where you are in the world, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. But do remember the Ummah in your du'as. Make du'a to Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu that for the sake of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam, that he grants relief to the Ummah, grants shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering, and also protection against the oppressors. Well, Alhamdulillah Azawajal, tonight we have some calls as well here in Sufi Nagar, Durban, South Africa. It's night time. Doesn't matter what time of day it is, where you are, what season you're experiencing, what hemisphere, what city or country. So stay tuned, because we have some callers, some questions as well about different types of problems. Maybe you might be experiencing some of these issues. So it's handy to have a notebook or a diary. And then you can jot down the important Madani pearls of advices and the wada'if, the invocations, and use that as a reference book. Or perhaps you may know somebody that is going through the difficulties that we are going to cover, inshallah, azza wa jal, in this episode. The beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions that, Ya Allah, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice, or at least I will try to share with somebody else, another Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. It might just relieve them of that difficulty, of that problem that they are facing in their life. And regarding writing down, you know, they say ink is the best memory. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that capture knowledge by writing it down. Whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now to gain maximum reward from the merciful court of Rabb Azza wa Jal. Time is fast and life is short. The time to do, to act is right now. The past is gone, cannot be altered. The future is uncertain. And what really matters is the present, is the now. So dedicate some time every day to recite the glorious Quran with translation from Kanzul Iman and commentary in English from Miftahul Ihsan. The material is available to empower us to understand what my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is telling me, ordering me, or forbidding me from doing. Every day recite some durud-e paak, salawat, istighfar, make sincere tawbah, renew and refresh your iman, tajdeed-e iman, abstain from sins, practice the sunnah, learn something of deen for the day, at least one sunnah, one dua as well, fulfill rights of others, be punctual with the daily salas and perform them properly, and obey Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There's so many wonderful blessings for reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durud-e Paak. And just by reciting one time, Allahu Akbar, the person gains 10 rewards, 10 sins, minor sins are forgiven. And that person's status and rank in the court of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is increased by 10 times. Just for reciting one time. What's the shortest Durud-e Paaks? Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's two Durud Sharifs. So recite in abundance as much as you can. We will request our wonderful director sahab and the team to please go ahead with the first call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for this knowledge. My question is, I would like to know what can I read for ear pains.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Well, the ability to hear, to listen, our faculty of hearing is one of the great bounties of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so from this aspect, we should protect our ears, meaning what we listen to, that we don't fill it with haram, with forbidden things, and thereby earning punishment. Also, we should make sure that we are using our ears for the correct things. Abstain from what is incorrect and do or listen to what is correct. Listen to the recitation of the Quran. Listen to Naat Sharif. Beautiful kalams are available with good intention, so you earn reward as well. Subhanallah. But regarding ear aches, ear pains, it could be a symptom of an infection or some underlying health condition. And in most cases, ear pains are not dangerous and rarely a sign of some serious illness. So the treatment, of course, will depend upon the cause. It may include medication, could include heat or cold therapy. It is mentioned that placing a cold pack on the outer ear for around 20 minutes will reduce the pain. Chewing may help relieve the pain and pressure of an ear infection. Of course, chewing gum for minors, for kids, can be a choking hazard. But if you're going to apply these things, always consult your doctor. Always check with the doctor. Can I do these things? If any home remedy is shared, consult with your doctor first. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lion of Allah subhanahu wa Sayyiduna Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha Karramallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem gave such a lovely and simple advice in order for a person not to experience molar pains, teeth of the teeth, and ear pains as well. Make an intention to practice upon this. It's so easy, so simple. And really, we should also encourage our young ones, our children, or if you have grandchildren, and other Muslims to practice upon this. Mawla Ali Karamullah Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem says that when the person sneezes, and if he recites after sneezing, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, then inshallah ta'ala, that person will never experience mawla or ear pains. Subhanallah. Do it with full faith. Because Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, everything is in His control and power. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. Some narrations say after reciting this, then with your tongue, pass it over the teeth in that way. So inshallah ta'ala, your teeth also will be protected. Inshallah. For ear pains, get somebody to recite the following 21 times with Durood-e Paak, 3 times before and after. And the person, after reciting, must then blow into the ears of the patient, the one who's suffering from the earache. Allah willing, the pain will subside. Very simple, very easy. Ya Sami'u, Ya Sami'u, Ya Sami'u. A Sami' is one of the grand qualities of Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So, Ya Sami'u, 21 times, with Durood Sharif, 3 times before and after, and then blow into the person's, the patient's ears. This must be done regularly till the recovery. You can find this beautiful wazifa in the wonderful booklet called Ailing Worshipper on page 40. This booklet, you can obtain the hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, which is Dawud Islami's publications department and bookshop, or you can download it for free along with hundreds of other wonderful books and booklets on diverse topics from DawoodIslami.net. I'm going to share one more with you, inshallah, azawajal. And this is actually very good for protection against eye, ear, body pains, and any type of virus as well. So So this must be recited 3 times in the morning and 3 times in the evening. Allahumma aafini fi badani. Allahumma aafini fi sam'i. Allahumma aafini fi basari. La ilaha illa anta. Very simple, very easy. 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening for protection against eye problems, ear pains, body pains, any type of pain or virus. Try to practice upon that, inshallah ta'ala. Can we have the next call, please? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. JazakAllah for bringing me this beneficial knowledge. My question is, if a person is diagnosed with cancer, are there any spiritual treatments that can be done? JazakAllah khairan.
Ameen wa iyaakum. So cancer, of course, there's different types of cancers. And it is quite prevalent around the world. So when they talk about removing the cancer, eliminating the cancer, they do this through surgery or different types of therapies. Currently, a complete cure for all types of cancers is not available. Many treatments lead to remission, which means the signs of the cancer are gone. And that significantly improves the quality of a person's life. There are some common symptoms like unusual bleeding or just discharge, lumps, thickening, sores that don't heal, changes in one's bowel or bladder habits, persistent coughs, difficulty in swallowing, changes in warts or moles, fatigue, etc. Now, along with whatever medical treatments the person is on, I'm going to share a few ruhani ilaj, spiritual treatments for cancer, for relief as well, inshallah. Number one, recite Surah Maryam. Somebody who knows how to read the Quran properly, with tajweed, with makharij, must recite Surah Maryam, with Durood Ibrahim, before and after 11 times. So 11 times Durood Ibrahim, Surah Maryam, 11 times again Durood Ibrahim, then blow onto some water, maybe a cup or bottle of water. And then you can keep topping it up as per need. The patient must drink this for the entire day. And this must be done for 40 days consecutively, one after the other. Allah Azza wa Jal willing, the patient will be granted relief. So very simple, very easy. Another beautiful wazifa for those who are suffering from whatever type of cancer is the recitation of 100 times Ya Raqibu, Ya Raqibu, Ya Raqibu, Ya Raqibu, 100 times whilst in the state of wudu. This must be done for 7 days with Salat ala Nabi Durood Sharif 11 times before and after. And do dam, blow onto the cancer patient. If there's a wound, then blow onto that as well. If the wound is internal, inside the body, or around the sitar area, the private areas, then put a cloth over and then blow on that spot where the internal wound of the cancer is. If the wound is apparent on the body, then take some mustard oil, read Ya Raqibu 100 times and blow onto this, and the patient can continue applying this oil on the wound. Inshallah azawajal, the wound will heal and relief will be granted from cancer, inshallah ta'ala. And there's another home remedy, actually two more, regarding any type of cancer. Take 100 grams of turmeric and cook it well in a liter of olive oil. Strain it, sieve it. The patient should take 20 drops after every meal and then drink some lukewarm water. Allah willing, their condition will improve. And according to some research, actually some recent research, eating pistachio nuts in an average quantity every day reduces the risk of cancer, different types of cancers. And there's a special type of vitamin E through which the immune system is boosted and helps against cancers. Again, consult your doctor before applying these remedies. Subhanallah. May we have the next call, please? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Jazakallah for this beautiful show and for passing down this beautiful knowledge. Alhamdulillah, today my question is, what are some remedies and wazaif to get rid of shayun? Jazakallah khair.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Okay, so showing off is it's a spiritual sickness, a disease that many have. But remember, we're not there to judge any other person but ourselves. And I should ask myself whether I have this spiritual sickness. So many other spiritual sicknesses that are there. And spiritual sicknesses can be more detrimental and dangerous than medical problems. I'm sure you may have heard this before, but medical problems could lead to a person's death. But spiritual problems and diseases could lead to a person losing their iman. Imagine that. Allah protect our iman. Iman is your faith, your belief is the most prized possession of a believer, your most valuable asset, without a shadow of doubt. There's so many examples of showing off. Again, judge, we need to judge ourselves. Whether it's Qari Sahib, is Qari Sahib have to ask themselves, am I reciting for people to praise me or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hafiz Sahib, am I performing Taraweeh Salah for people to give me gifts and praises or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The donor, am I giving this charity, this donation to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for people to call me generous and kind? Any orator, a scholar who's giving a bayan, a discourse, why am I doing it? They must ask themselves, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, or for people to, wow, subhanallah, what beautiful points. So certain things can be done, and should be done in order to counter this spiritual ailment of showing off. Dua. Make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, all of it. Turn to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu to help you overcome and remove this and other spiritual sicknesses as well. Try to bring sincerity in your deeds. Protect your good deeds by making sincere, firm, good intentions. Develop your taqwa, your piety, closeness to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu's punishments. Hide your good deeds. Ponder over the warnings against showing off. To give you a narration, there are several. Just one will suffice. The last Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannah, paradise, haram, forbidden for the people who show off. It's a blessed hadith. Ponder over narrations like this. What if I am the one that is deprived of going to paradise because I show off? Let me share some wadaif as well that the ulama ikram, mashayikh ikram, the pious people have taught us to remove this satanic thoughts, riya, showing off. The following dua should be made daily. Allah Azza wa Jal willing, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will save that person from each type of small or big showing off. It's a lovely dua. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I seek your protection from committing knowingly an act of polytheism, and I seek your forgiveness from committing any such act unknowingly. Furthermore, when an evil thought of showing off, the moment you catch it, because it slips in very silently, subtly, the moment you realize it, recognize it, and recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and act as if you are spitting towards your left side, 3 times. No saliva coming out, just the sound. Like you're spitting on the face of shaitan. Because he whispers wasawis, waswasa. He whispers evil whisperings in the heart, in the mind. And he can imitate your own sound, your voice. Allah Akbar. Because he works at a certain frequency to whisper these evil thoughts. Allah protect us from the evil whisperings of shaitan. Shaitan is very cunning. He's a great deceiver. Imagine if a person, he knows he's got this problem. Let's say showing off. But he's telling somebody else, you know, I learned these wazifas and I'm practicing upon it to get rid of this disease. But at the same time, shaitan, he can whisper that, you know, tell this person so they can become impressed. So just by telling them, could be that the person is showing off as well. For getting rid of showing off, then recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ 11 times. In the morning, from after midnight to the glimmering of the first ray of sun. It's mentioned that even if shaitan, along with his troops, tries to make the reciter commit a sin, he will not succeed. Unless the reciter himself commits the sin. One more wazifa. Very easy, very simple. Recite, especially when satanic thoughts enter. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Recite this. Inshallah ta'ala, that evil whispering will disappear. May we have the next call, please. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
May Allah Ta'ala grant you all beneficial knowledge and reward you all for granting us this knowledge. My question is, are there any ways to lessen depression? And also, if you could mention some wazaif to recite. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen wa iyyakum. So, depression is something that, I know, in today's day and age, is experienced by so many people. Young and old, and you know, people feel like hopeless, helpless, could have suicidal thoughts. See, we need to understand something. We are believers, we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. We have iman. And so we cannot escape the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding any matter in our lives. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, that will happen. No matter how much I wish otherwise, whatever anxiety and worry and stress and tension and depression, this is mostly created because we first make the decision. We have the expectation and we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, in a sense, conform to that. What we plan and decide is subject to the confirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you a quick example. The parents send a proposal of their son. He's handsome, good looking, has a good job, top salary, everything, you know. So there's an expectation now that the girl's party should accept. He fulfills all the blocks, but then they reject. And maybe rejection after rejection of the proposals, and the person ends up depressed and starts contemplating, starts bowing to evil thoughts, because the mind was already made up that they should accept, they will accept, they must accept. So be careful of this. Don't have these kind of expectations and grow your emotional intelligence. Grow, it becomes strong, emotionally especially. And don't internalize negativity. There's other reasons for depression, unemployment, sickness, failing exams, huge job stresses, demands. Remember, whatever is due to you, yes, we have to put in the efforts with sincere good intentions, but whatever is due to you will reach you. Always place reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and his will. Because a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this we need to understand. Also that behind every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's only goodness, there's only wisdom in it. Even if I, with my so limited understanding, cannot understand it. And if I'm not fully aware of it. Person fails their driver's test, or school or college. It's not the end. Parents, grandparents, uncles, aunties, that is the support structure. They must give moral support. Don't worry, next time. Use the failure, your failure as a stepping stone to learn from it, as lessons, to better yourself next time so you don't do those same mistakes. What happens in many circles out there is that the person, maybe because they don't have a moral support structure around them, which is number one is the family unit. And so many people turn to drugs, alcohol, and then they slip into that depression. It does not solve the problem, it makes it worse. It destroys them physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally. They just drown. They feel like they were to drown their worries and their sorries in the bottle. Creates more problems. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 216, and it is possible that you hate a thing which is better for you. And it is possible that you like a thing which is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows and you do not know. Allahu Akbar. This is the world of tests. It's a world of tests. It's not paradise. In paradise, there is no depression, stress, worry, negativity, impurity, there's nothing of that sort. This is a place of the test. As mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 155, and we will surely test you with some fear and hunger and with shortage of wealth. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give glad tidings to those who patiently endure. Build your tolerance levels, your patience levels. Don't internalize things. Train your brain that no matter what the condition, all praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't leave your salah. Continue with your dhikrullah, istighfar, salawat, durood-e paak. Do some walking. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Ikamil Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great scholar that is followed by tens of millions around the globe, advises us. 45 minutes every day, try to walk. Because many of us, we live sedentary lifestyles. Sitting and sitting and sitting, it's not good for us. Become active. You don't need a gym membership for that. You don't need gymming equipment. Watch what you eat. Eat healthy, wholesome foods. Become more active, at least minimum 45 minutes a day. Whilst you're walking, 15 minutes quick, brisk walk, 15 minutes normal, 15 minutes brisk walk. Whilst you're going, recite Qur'an-i Pak, put your earphones on, listen to Kalamullah, to Qur'an Sharif, Naat Sharif, different Kalams, listen to the weekly booklet, the audio. Audio book is out. Engage in Dhikrullah, Darood Sharif, Istighfar. So physically and spiritually, you're benefiting at the same time. Like multitasking. The glorious Quran, read the Quran, listen to the Quran, it is a shifa as well. Subhanallah, try to be in positive, good company of good, upright Muslims, practical Muslims and gatherings, like the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima of Dawud Islami. Brothers are encouraged to travel with the qafilas. Inshallah ta'ala, it will have a positive impact in your life. Because you're in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua not just for yourself, but for your family members as well, for the ummah as well. Subhanallah azza wa jal. You know, there's a non-Muslim doctor that says, the patients that I have that are suffering from depression, I wash their faces 5 times a day. Others say we wash the patient's hands 5 times a day and we observe that their condition improves. Allahu Akbar. You know what I'm getting at? for the practical Muslim. Already, he or she is washing their face in five times, at least five times a day. Their face, their hands, their arms. Five times a day, wudu. Subhanallah. If we are punctual with our salahs, it will have lots of bonus effects. Physical, medical, positive effects as well. Subhanallah. But of course, we should make the wudu, salah, for the right reasons. Salah is ibadah, command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those reasons. With the salah, with the fasting, and then the physical benefits will fall into place as well. Reach out if you have to. Talk, confide in somebody. The person who's depressed, talk to somebody that you trust, that you can confide in, that will give you good advice. The therapist. Avoid the triggers. Have a plan of action. Occupy the mind with positive things. Contemplate over the hereafter. Keep in mind that your greatest problems or difficulties are temporary. Like your life. When your life ends, those mountains of problems come to an end. But the real problem will start if I did not prepare for the grave and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. There's a beautiful wazifa for this as well. That when a person feels themselves slipping into a phase of depression, make wudu calmly. Make wudu. Instantly you will feel some freshness. And then daily recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, 7 times, the whole surah. With Durud Sharif once before and after, blow into some water and drink this. Inshallah ta'ala, it will prove beneficial. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My question is, what are the causes of procrastination and how can one overcome this? Jazakallah for it.
Ameen wa iyyakum. Procrastination is the thief of time. That's what they say. Allah. Some say that procrastination is not laziness. That's their research and opinion. There could be a number of reasons that a person procrastinates, delays things. I can tell you, Shaitan, one of his tactics is the delaying tactics. I'll do it. I'll do it tomorrow. So many tomorrows come and go, and then weeks are gone, months are gone, maybe years are gone. Subhanallah. So procrastination, they say, it's a behavior caused by some stress in our lives or some kind of negative belief about ourselves. So low self-esteem. One should ask themselves that, you know, I need to firstly identify what are the root causes of the problem, or what's the triggers. Is it fear of failure, low self-esteem, perfectionism, feeling overwhelmed? That's the first step, to identify the triggers and root causes. And now implement effective strategies to remove these causes. Break down large tasks into smaller projects, portions that are manageable, so you don't feel overwhelmed. Eliminate distractions, social media, noisy environments, or an environment that is not conducive to what you want to achieve, what you want to do. Set realistic and achievable goals. Create a structured plan, a plan of action. Very important. Prioritize your tasks. What is most important and least important? If you achieve something, reward yourself a little bit. Don't go splash and spend and become extravagant a little bit to reinforce positive behavior. Focus on progress. Monitor your progress. Cultivate a positive mindset. And sometimes a person might need to seek professional help from some guidance from a therapist, a counselor. improve your energy levels. Maybe a person is, because they're not eating healthy, not exercising regularly, not getting enough sleep. So these things, maybe one of them or a combination of them is adding. So find the root causes of the problem. Schedule regular breaks. Find an accountability partner, something that you can confide in your goals and that will check up on you. Create a productive environment. In these ways, Alhamdulillah, if you have a timetable, this is so important. Create a timetable and put in something which is achievable. Don't be so ambitious that we raise the bar so high that I feel overwhelmed now. Hey, how am I going to do this? No, because procrastination is the root of all loss. Make a to-do list. Create that timetable. Prioritize. Be realistic. Value time. This is so important for us. Islam teaches us time management, that a person must manage their time properly. It is mentioned in a narration that take care of your free time before you become occupied. Because many of us really, we waste time. We waste too much of time. Look at the schedule of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Mawla Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, the fourth khalifa of Islam, he said that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered his blessed home, he would divide his time into three parts: for worshipping Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his family, for himself. His personal time for himself, he would split it for himself and for the public, where he would teach them about Islam, resolve their problems, give them some guidance, matters of faith, of life, subhanallah, encourage people, motivate people. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So, the timetable, putting down achievable goals, and priorities is important. The timetable is only effective if you prioritize your activities. And of course, our lives must revolve, whatever list we are putting down, whatever timetable or schedule that we are enforcing, must revolve around the five daily salahs. That's also teaching us time management, because those salahs are at specific times, specific durations of times. Learn from the experiences of others. Those who are in the field longer than you, those who are advanced in age, they certainly have more life experience. They say every person is like a book. And the pages are their experiences, their life experiences, the days that they have lived and experienced. And when you get talking to a person, you can be amazed and you learn so many things. And parents out there, psychologists, they say that share the mistakes that you made with your children, your past mistakes, share it with them, to encourage them not to commit the same mistakes or similar mistakes. And how you handled it, how you learned from those mistakes so you didn't commit it again. What's also important is to delegate duties. Trying to do everything yourself is not going to work. Then you're going to feel overwhelmed. When we look at subhanallah azza wa jal, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would delegate duties among Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. For example, when they would travel and it was time to cook the food, during a trip, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided the tasks and took responsibility of gathering wood, subhanallah azza wa jal. Splitting up a task saves time and effort. Don't engage in useless activities, it just eats up your time. It eats it up. I will do it tomorrow, let me do something else now. And then the tasks, they all pile up and then a person doesn't know which to begin with. So these few motherly pearls of advices, try to implement all of them, or most of them, inshallah, azawajal, it will prove beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, our families, the Muslims, from all types of troubles, jinn, jadu, sihr, black magic, bandish, nazar-e-bad, evil ones, sicknesses, viruses, criminals and criminal activities as well. Ameen. Bijahi khatimin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain.